Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and in this broadcast, we're going to continue with an analysis of the role of the narcotics traffic in the Balkans situation. On May 2nd of 1999, I recorded For the Record segment 151 featuring the seminal research of Mike Rupert, who in his From the Wilderness newsletter discussed the relationship between the Balkans War, German and U.S. intelligence, Albanian crime syndicates, and the Kosovo Liberation Army. On May 5th of 1999, Frank Viviano in the San Francisco Chronicle came out with an article which supplemented and reinforced Mike's information in a big, big way. The following excerpt is from the One Step Beyond program of May 9th of 1999.
And the lead article in the Chronicle of 5599 by Frank Viviano was entitled KLA Linked to Enormous Heroin Trade, subtitled DEA Suspects Drug Profits Aided Rebellion in Kosovo. And this information follows directly on the information that I excerpted from Mike Rupert's newsletter read on the air 3 days before this article was published. This article reads, for the benefit of people who don't normally read the Chronicle, officers of the Kosovo Liberation Army and their backers, according to law enforcement authorities in Western Europe and the United States, are a major force in international organized crime, moving staggering amounts of narcotics to an underworld network that reaches into the heart of Europe. In the words of a November 1997 statement issued by Interpol, the international police agency, quote, Kosovo Albanians hold the largest share of the heroin market in Switzerland, in Austria, in Belgium, in Germany, in Hungary, in the Czech Republic, in Norway, and in Sweden, unquote. That the Albanians of Kosovo are victims of a conscious, ethnic cleansing campaign set in motion by Yugoslav President Slobodan Milosevic is clear. But the credentials of some who claim to represent them are profoundly disturbing, say highly placed sources on both sides of the Atlantic. On March 25th, the day after NATO's bombardment of Serb forces began, drug enforcement experts from the Hague-based European Office of Police, or Europol, met in an emergency closed session devoted to Kosovar narcotics trafficking networks, unquote. Europol is preparing an extensive report for European Justice and Interior Ministers on the KLA's role in heroin smuggling. Independent investigations of the charges are also underway in Sweden, Germany, and Switzerland. Quote, we have intelligence leading us to believe that there could be a connection between drug money and the Kosovo Liberation Army, Walter Kege, or Kege, K-E-G-E, head of the Drug Enforcement Unit in the Swedish Police Intelligence Service, told the London Times in late March. As long as 4 years ago, U.S. officials were concerned about alleged ties between narcotic syndicates and the People's Movement of Kosovo, a dissident political organization founded in 1982 that is now the KLA's political wing. A 1995 advisory by the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration warned of the possibility, quote, that certain members of the ethnic Albanian community in the Serbian region of Kosovo have turned to drug trafficking in order to finance their separatist activities, unquote. If the drug running allegations against the KLA are accurate, the group could join a rogues gallery of former U.S. allies whose interests outside the battlefield brought deep embarrassment and domestic political turmoil to Washington. In 1944, the invading U.S. Army handed the reins of power in Sicily to local, quote, anti-fascists, unquote, who were in fact mafia leaders. During the next half century, American governments also turned a blind eye to or collaborated with the narcotics operations of Southeast Asian drug lords and Nicaraguan Contras who were allied with the United States in Indochina and Central America. In each case, the legacy of these partnerships ranged from global expansion of the power wielded by criminal syndicates to divisive congressional inquiries at home and lasting suspicion of American intentions overseas. The involvement of ethnic Albanians in the drug trade is not exclusively Kosovar. It includes members of Albanian communities in Europe's three poorest countries or regions, Kosovo, Macedonia, and Albania, where the appeal of narcotics trafficking is self-explanatory, even without a separatist war to fund. The average 1997 monthly salary in all three communities was less than $200. In Albania, it was less than $50. According to the Paris-based Geopolitical Drug Watch, which advises the governments of Britain and France on illegal operations on illegal narcotics operations, 1 kilogram or 2.2 pounds of heroin costs $8,300 in Albania, which lies at the western terminus of a Balkan route that today accounts for up to 90% of the drug's exports to Europe from Southeast Asia and Turkey. Across the border from Albania in Greece, the same kilo of heroin can be sold for $30,000, yielding an instant profit equal to 9 years' normal income in Macedonia and more than a third of a century in Albania or pre-bombardment Kosovo. The Balkan route is a principal thoroughfare for an illicit drug traffic worth $400 billion annually, according to Interpol. Although only a small number of ethnic Albanian clans profit directly from the trade, their activities have cast a dark shadow on the entire Albanian world. There is a growing tendency among foreign observers, says former Albanian President Salih Berisha, B-E-R-I-S-H-A, quote, to identify the criminal with the honest, the vandal with the civilized, the mafiosi with the nation, unquote. Those ethnic Albanians who have embraced the narcotics trade are extraordinarily aggressive. Albanian speakers comprise roughly 1% of Europe's 510 million people. In 1997, according to Interpol, they made up 14% of all European arrests for heroin trafficking. The average quantity of heroin confiscated per arrest among all offenders was less than 2 grams. Among Albanian speakers, the figures was 120 grams or 4.2 ounces. Until the war intervened, Kosovars were the acknowledged masters of the trade, credited with shoving aside the Turkish gangs that had long dominated narcotics trafficking along the Balkan route and effectively directing the ethnic Albanian network. Kosovar bosses, quote, orchestrated the traffic, regulated the rate, and set the prices, unquote, according to journalist Leonardo Cohn, C-O-E-N, who covers racketeering and organized crime in the Balkans for the Italian daily La Repubblica. Quote, the Kosovars had a 10-year head start on their cousins across the border simply because their Yugoslav passports allowed them to travel earlier and much more widely than someone from communist Albania, unquote, said Michael Koutsouzis, K-O-U-T-O-U-Z-I-S, a senior researcher at Geopolitical Drug Watch, who is regarded as Europe's leading expert on the Balkan route. That allowed them to establish very efficient overseas networks through the worldwide Albanian diaspora, and in the process to forge ties with other underworld groups involved in the heroin trade, such as Chinese triads in Vancouver and Vietnamese in Australia, unquote, Koutsouzis told the Chronicle. On assignments in Kosovo and Macedonia between 1992 and 6, a Chronicle reporter frequently encountered groups of ethnic Albanian men ostentatiously dressed in designer clothing and driving luxury cars far beyond the normal means of their community at restaurants in the Macedonian capital of Skopje and near the Kosovo frontier. By the way, that capital is S-K-O-P-J-E, and I'm probably mispronouncing that and quite a few other of the Balkan names, so bear with me on that. Continuing. The men were quite willing to speak about politics, confirming that they were Kosovar and asserting their determination to bring down Milosevic. But when asked how they earned their living, they uniformly answered, in business, unquote, declining to provide any details. The rise of Kosovar bosses to the pinnacle of the drug trade and the sudden, simultaneous appearance of the KLA dates from 1997, when the Berisha government fell in Albania amid nationwide rioting over a collapsed financial pyramid scheme that destroyed the savings of millions and wrecked the economy. In the unchecked looting that followed, the nation's armories were emptied of weapons, explosives, and ammunition. In June 1997, Berisha was succeeded as president by Recep Medjani, who, unlike Berisha, was openly sympathetic to a separatist rebellion in Kosovo, last name Medjani. Last year, a NATO official in Brussels, quoted by Radio Free Europe, cited intelligence findings of, quote, the wholesale transfer of weapons to Kosovo, unquote, in 1997, destabilizing the precarious balance between ethnic Albanians and Serbs in the province, and undercutting the position of pacifist Kosovo leader Ibrahim Rugova in autonomy negotiations with Belgrade. A United Nations study found that at least 200,000 Kalashnikov automatic assault weapons stolen from Albanian military armories wound up in the KLA arsenal. So many, according to reliable sources, that KLA operatives were themselves exporting guns to overseas black markets at the start of 1999. In effect, the KLA's armed insurgency, escalating at a time when U.S. and Western European diplomats were seeking a peaceful solution to the crisis, provided a pretext for Milosevic to press for a nationalist solution to the Kosovo problem. Then came the failed Rambouillet talks, the NATO bombing decision, and with it, what Koutsousis calls the militarization of the Kosovar drug trade. Quote, narcotics trafficking has been a permanent part of the Kosovo picture for a long time. The question is where the profits go, unquote, Koutsousis said. Again quoting, when Drugova held sway and the object was a peaceful settlement, the drug proceeds of Kosovo clans were at least invested in growth, in things like better housing and health care. It was a form of social taxation, in a sense, and the more illegal the activities, the more their businessmen, unquote, were expected to pay. But with the outbreak of war, Koutsousis adds, again quoting, the investment is only in destruction, and the KLA's first effort was to destroy the influence of Rugova, and no one in the West did much to help him, unquote. Nonetheless, NATO military officers and diplomats have always been troubled by the murky origins and financing of the KLA, which materialized for the first time in Kosovo on November 28, 1997, outfitted in expensive Swiss-manufactured uniforms and equipped with the purloined Albanian Kalashnikovs. The mistrust is reciprocated. According to Vetan Suroi, S-U-R-R-O-I, the widely respected editor of Kosovo's Albanian-language daily newspaper Koha Ditori, U.S. negotiator Richard Holbrooke had a Kalashnikov held to his head when he arrived for a meeting with KLA officers during one of his shuttle missions to Kosovo. As recently as February 25th, U.S. Ambassador Chris Hill, another of the negotiators, said, quote, the KLA must understand that its members have a future as members of political parties or local police forces, but not in the continuation of armed struggle, unquote. The eruption of war changed almost everything. Since the bombing campaign opened, NATO has had little alternative but to rely on the KLA for intelligence. Its guerrilla units inside Kosovo are the only eyewitness source of information on Serb troop movements. Solid intelligence about the KLA itself is nearly impossible to nail down. NATO estimates put its forces at 15,000. Avija Ramadom, R-A-M-A-D-O-M, the organization's official spokesman, claims that the KLA has more than 50,000 men. In addition to alleged drug receipts, the group is said to be funded by a war tax of 3% imposed by the People's Movement of Kosovo on the earnings of 500,000 ethnic Albanian immigrants in Western Europe, a population that is soaring with the immense exodus of refugees. Half of the pre-war immigrants have settled in Germany, according to the International Migration Organization, and a third in Switzerland. A single fundraising evening in Switzerland earlier this year is believed to have raised $7 million from ethnic Albanian immigrants, much of it earmarked for the KLA struggle against Serbia. So Frank Viviano, with some of his characteristically excellent reporting for the Chronicle, basically shoring up and supplementing what Mike Rupert wrote in From the Wilderness. And that following 3 days, my excerpting of Mike's newsletter. What we're going to do next is to read that paper by Michelle Chasudovsky, and a tip of the hat to a member of the listening audience who downloaded this from Mike Rupert's website, where the entire paper is posted, courtesy of Professor Chasudovsky. By the way, that man's name again, Chosudovsky. And you can get this from Mike Rupert's website. That web address, again, is www.copvcia.com. That's www.copvcia.com. This paper is entitled Kosovo Freedom Fighters, Financed by Organized Crime. And it should read Kosovo Freedom Fighters, unquote, Financed by Organized Crime. It's by Michelle Chasudovsky of the Department of Economics, the University of Ottawa. And that's in Ottawa, Canada, K1N, as in Nancy, 6 Nancy 5. That's K as in kangaroo, 1 N as in Nancy, 6 N as in Nancy 5. Voicemail 1-613-562-5800, extension 1415. Again, that's 1-613-562-5800, extension 1415. And fax 1-514-425-6224. You can reach Professor Chasudovsky by email at Chasudovsky, again, Chosudovsky at sprint.ca. Once again, Chasudovsky at sprint.ca. Ukraine.ca. And Professor Chasadovsky's paper reads, heralded by the global media as a humanitarian peacekeeping mission, NATO's ruthless bombing of Belgrade and Pristina goes far beyond the breach of international law. While Slobodan Milosevic is demonized, portrayed as a remorseless dictator, the Kosovo Liberation Army, or KLA, is upheld as a self-respecting nationalist movement struggling for the rights of ethnic Albania. The truth of the matter is that the KLA is sustained by organized crime with the tacit approval of the United States and its allies. Following a pattern set during the war in Bosnia, public opinion has been carefully misled. The multi-billion-dollar Balkans narcotics trade has played a crucial role in, quote, financing the conflict, unquote, in Kosovo, in accordance with Western economic, strategic, and military objectives. Amply documented by European police files, acknowledged by numerous studies, the links of the Kosovo Liberation Army to criminal syndicates in Albania, Turkey, and the European Union have been known to Western governments and intelligence agencies since the mid-1990s. And then there's a quote here, and this comes from Roger Boyles and Eski Wright, drug money linked to the Kosovo rebels. That's from the London Times of Monday, March 24th of 1999. And that quote from that article reads, the financing of the Kosovo guerrilla war poses critical questions, and it sorely tests claims of an ethical foreign policy. Should the West back a guerrilla army that appears to be partly financed by organized crime? And I would add, too, that the BND, the German Intelligence Service, has also been heavily involved with the KLA, as we will see in a minute. Continuing with Professor Chasadovsky's article, while KLA leaders were shaking hands with U.S. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright at Rambouillet, Europol, the European police organization based in The Hague, was, quote, preparing a report for European Interior and Justice Ministers on a connection between the KLA and Albanian drug gangs, unquote. In the meantime, the rebel army has been skillfully heralded by the global media in the months preceding the NATO bombings as broadly representative of the interests of ethnic Albanians in Kosovo. With KLA leader Hashim Thaçi, T-H-A-C-I, a 29-year, quote, freedom fighter, unquote, appointed as chief negotiator at Rambouillet, the KLA has become the de facto helmsman of the peace process on behalf of the ethnic Albanian majority, and this despite its links to the drug trade. The West was relying on its KLA puppets to rubber-stamp agreements which would have transformed Kosovo into an occupied territory under Western administration. Ironically, Robert Gelbard, G-E-L-B-A-R-D, America's special envoy to Bosnia, had described the KLA last year as terrorists. Christopher Hill, America's chief negotiator and architect of the Rambouillet Agreement, has also been a strong critic of the KLA for its alleged dealings in drugs, unquote. Moreover, barely a few months before Rambouillet, the U.S. State Department had acknowledged, based on reports from the U.S. Observer Mission, the role of the KLA in terrorizing and uprooting ethnic Albanians, quote, the KLA harass or kidnap anyone who comes to the police. The KLA representatives had threatened to kill villagers and burn their homes if they did not join the KLA, a process which has continued since the NATO bombings. The KLA harassment has reached such intensity that residents of six villages in the Stimlje region are ready to flee. That's S-T-I-M-L-J-E, and again, I'm probably mispronouncing that. That particular quote is from the KDOM Daily Report released by the Bureau of European and Canadian Affairs. Continuing with the text. While backing a freedom movement, unquote, with links to the drug trade, the West seems also intent in bypassing the civilian Kosovo Democratic League and its leader Ibrahim Rugova, who has called for an end to the bombings and expressed his desire to negotiate a peaceful settlement with the Yugoslav authorities. By the way, his last name is R-U-G-O-V-A. Continuing. It's worth recalling that a few days before his March 31st press conference, Rugova had been reported by the KLA, alongside three other leaders, including Femi Agani, to have been killed by the Serbs. By the way, I'd add that last leader just turned up dead a couple of days ago, as I speak on the evening of May 9th of 1999. This next section is called Covert Financing of Freedom Fighters, unquote. Remember Oliver North and the Contras? The pattern in Kosovo is similar to other CIA covert operations in Central America, Haiti, and Afghanistan, where, quote, freedom fighters, unquote, were financed through the laundering of drug money. Since the onslaught of the Cold War, Western intelligence agencies have developed a complex relationship to the illegal narcotics trade. In case after case, drug money laundered in the international banking system has financed covert operations. According to author Alfred McCoy, the pattern of covert financing was established in the Indochina War. In the 1960s, the Mayo Army in Laos was funded by the narcotics trade as part of Washington's military strategy against the combined forces of the neutralist government of Prince Souvanaphouma and the Pathet Lao. The pattern of drug politics set in Indochina has since been replicated in Central America and the Caribbean. Quote, "The rising curve of cocaine imports to the U.S., wrote journalist John Dingus, again quoting, "followed almost exactly the flow of U.S. arms and military advisors to Central America," unquote. The military in Guatemala and Haiti, to which the CIA provided covert support, were known to be involved in the trade of narcotics into southern Florida. And as revealed in the Iran-Contra and Bank of Commerce and Credit International scandals, there was strong evidence that covert operations were funded through the laundering of drug money. Dirty money recycled through the banking system, often through an anonymous shell company, became covert money used to finance various rebel groups and guerrilla movements, including the Nicaraguan Contras and the Afghan Mujahideen. According to a 1991 Time magazine report, quote, "Because the U.S. wanted to supply the Mujahideen rebels in Afghanistan with Stinger missiles and other military hardware, it needed the full cooperation of Pakistan. By the mid-1980s, the CIA operation in Islamabad was one of the largest U.S. intelligence stations in the world. If BCCI is such an embarrassment to the U.S. that forthright investigations are not being pursued, it has a lot to do with the blind eye the U.S. turned to the heroin trafficking in Pakistan," said a U.S. intelligence officer, unquote. The next section is called America and Germany Join Hands. Since the early 1990s, Bonn and Washington have joined hands in establishing their respective spheres of influence in the Balkans. Their intelligence agencies have also collaborated. According to intelligence analyst John Whitley, W-H-I-T-L-E-Y, covert support to the Kosovo rebel army was established as a joint endeavor between the CIA and Germany's Bundesnachrichtendienst, or BND, which previously played a key role in installing a right-wing nationalist government under Franjo Tudjman in Croatia. The task to create and finance the KLA was initially given to Germany. Quote, "They used German uniforms, East German weapons, and were financed in part with drug money," unquote. According to Whitley, the CIA was subsequently instrumental in training and equipping the KLA in Albania. The covert activities of Germany's BND were consistent with Bonn's intent to expand its Lebensraum into the Balkans. Prior to the onset of the civil war in Bosnia, Germany and its foreign minister, Hans-Dietrich Genscher, had actively supported secession. It had, quote, "forced the pace of international diplomacy," unquote, and pressured its Western allies to recognize Slovenia and Croatia. According to the Geopolitical Drug Watch, both Germany and the U.S. favored, although not officially, the formation of a Greater Albania, unquote, encompassing Albania, Kosovo, and parts of Macedonia. According to Sean Gervasi, G-E-R-V-A-S-I, Germany was seeking a free hand among its allies, quote, "to pursue economic dominance in the whole of Mitteleuropa," unquote. The next section is called Islamic Fundamentalism in Support of the KLA. Bonn and Washington's hidden agenda, unquote, consisted in triggering nationalist liberation movements in Bosnia and Kosovo with the ultimate purpose of destabilizing Yugoslavia. The latter objective was also carried out by turning a blind eye to the influx of mercenaries and financial support from Islamic fundamentalist organizations. Mercenaries financed by Saudi Arabia and Kuwait have been fighting in Bosnia, and the Bosnian pattern was replicated in Kosovo. Mujahideen mercenaries from various Islamic countries are reported to be fighting alongside the KLA in Kosovo. German, Turkish, and Afghan instructors were reported to be training the KLA in guerrilla and diversion tactics. According to Deutsche Presseagentur report, financial support from Islamic countries to the KLA had been channeled to the former Albanian chief of the National Information Service, Bashkim Gazidede, that's G-A-Z-I-D-E-D-E. Gazidede, reportedly a devout Muslim who fled Albania in March of last year, 1997, is presently, 1998, being investigated for his contacts with Islamic terrorist organizations. The supply route for arming KLA freedom fighters, unquote, are the rugged mountainous borders of Albania with Kosovo and Macedonia. Albania is also a key point of transit of the Balkans drug route, which supplies Western Europe with grade 4 heroin. 75% of the heroin entering Western Europe is from Turkey, and a large part of drug shipments originating in Turkey transits through the Balkans. According to the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, quote, it is estimated that 4 to 6 metric tons of heroin leave each month from Turkey, having through the Balkans as destination Western Europe, unquote. A recent intelligence report by Germany's Federal Criminal Agency suggests that, quote, ethnic Albanians are now the most prominent group in the distribution of heroin in Western consumer countries, unquote. Next section, the laundering of dirty money. In order to thrive, the criminal syndicates involved in the Balkans narcotics trade need friends in high places. Smuggling rings with alleged links to the Turkish state are said to control the trafficking of heroin through the Balkans, quote, cooperating closely with other groups with which they have political or religious ties, unquote, including criminal groups in Albania and Kosovo. In this new global financial environment, powerful undercover political lobbies connected to organized crime cultivate links to prominent political figures and officials of the military and intelligence establishment. The narcotics trade nonetheless uses respectable banks to launder large amounts of dirty money. While comfortably removed from the smuggling operations per se, powerful banking interests in Turkey, but mainly those in financial centers in Western Europe, discreetly collect fat commissions in a multi-billion dollar money laundering operation. These interests have high stakes in ensuring a safe passage of drug shipments into Western European markets. The next section, the Albanian connection. Arms smuggling from Albania into Kosovo and Macedonia started at the beginning of 1992 when the Democratic Party came to power. Headed by President Salih Berisha, facts from the internet, so some of the punctuation is not that visible. Beginning again. Arms smuggling from Albania into Kosovo and Macedonia started at the beginning of 1992 when the Democratic Party came to power, headed by President Safi Berisha, B-E-R-I-S-H-A. An expansive underground economy and cross-border trade had unfolded. A triangular trade in oil, arms, and narcotics had developed largely as a result of the embargo imposed by the international community on Serbia and Montenegro, and the blockade enforced by Greece against Macedonia. Industry and agriculture in Kosovo were spearheaded into bankruptcy following the IMF's lethal economic medicine imposed on Belgrade in 1990.
Once again, you've been listening to a paper by Professor Michelle Chasudovsky from the University of Ottawa in the Economics Department. That's available on Mike Rupert's website at www.copvcia.com. www.copvcia.com. We're going to resume with Professor Chasudovsky's paper in the next half-hour segment. That concludes this half-hour. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.